Pride Week 2002 is in full swing throughout Halifax, and the gay and lesbian community is celebrating with parties, parades, and art shows. The hoopla can be a lot of fun. But after the parties are over, the quiet fight for the right to live a close to normal life will go on. Here is a story about one of those behind-the-scenes battles. Ian Crow is a chartered accountant in Halifax. Back in 1997, he tried to do what hundreds of thousands of other Canadians do every tax season. He tried to make an RRSP contribution on behalf of his common law partner. Ian Crow joins us now in studio to pick up the story.
Hi, Ian.
Good morning, Pauline.
What happened that day when you walked into the bank to buy the RRSP?
Well, I went into the bank and I asked if I could purchase the RRSP, and they knew that my partner was a man because I was talking about some other financial planning at the time, and I told them I wanted to fight the battle, as it were. I knew that it was against the law, so to speak, because the law provided that it had to be a person of the opposite sex, but I told them that I thought that was discriminatory and I wanted to fight it, so that, you know, I wanted them to sell it to me and that I would take up the battle with Revenue Canada.
How did they react?
Unfortunately, well, they were sympathetic, but they unfortunately they called up the tax department and asked them for permission if they could sell me the RRSP, and the tax department unequivocally said no. They couldn't sell it to me. So I was disappointed, but you know, that was where I was.
So what did you do instead?
Well, I decided that this wasn't right. I decided this was contrary to my rights and that this shouldn't be allowed. I was pretty confident that the law was discriminatory, and in fact, this has proven to be the case. I mean, subsequent to this, the law has now been changed, so I decided to claim it anyway. I have a professional practice, so I deducted it as part of my professional income, which wasn't quite the same as an RRSP, but I was upfront about it. I called it equivalent disposal RRSP is what I did.
You made up your own...
Made up my own category for it and claimed it anyway. And I was sort of, again, I was hoping, you know, that someone would inquire about it and that I would, you know, have my chance to make my case.
So what happened when it got there?
Well, the first go around, we filed the returns as married common law. I'm quite proud of the fact that we filed in 1996, 2 years ahead of the law, we actually filed this as married common law. They accepted the returns, except that they made a little mistake on the return. In fact, it was more than a little mistake. They came back and they told me that I owed them a rather substantial amount of money in 1996. In fact, it was over $100,000.
Yikes.
Now, I didn't owe them $100,000, but in the course of getting that straightened away, the auditor asked a natural question. So he was looking at it at the time. He said, well, what's this deduction? So I said, well, I explained what it was. And he said, well, you can't have it. The reason he gave me that I couldn't have it was that, you know, well, the law did not provide for a deduction for same-sex partners. And that was the reason they gave me consistently from there through the appeal process.
And so you're a chartered accountant, you know the tax rules, you know this isn't allowed. Why did you keep pushing?
Well, I kept pushing for a number of reasons, Pauline. Number one, I like to be right. I hate to say that, but I mean, that's most of my friends and colleagues will know that, you know, when the department makes a mistake, I like to take them to task for it. And more importantly, there was a statement I was trying to make at the time that this law was discriminatory. And I feel where I'm out, I have the ability to make statements like this, to go public with it, to take it through and not worry about what people are going to have to say. There's a lot of people out there who are still in the closet who would like to make such contributions or take advantage of such rules but can't speak out publicly. So I feel I'm speaking a little bit for them on their behalf as well.
So we've seen some changes this week, and I guess thanks to Bill C-23, same-sex partners will now be allowed to make RRSP contributions just like opposite-sex couples.
That is true. Yes, the rules were changed in 2000. Bill C-23 that you referred to actually permits me now to make this contribution on behalf of my partner. Unfortunately, it isn't retroactive. So in my case, it doesn't take me back to 1996. And in fact, I don't want to sound paranoid about it, but the years in question for me that I wanted to make these claims was 1996 and 1997. And I had made no such claims for 1998 and beyond, and the rules only went back so far as 1998. So I'm sort of out of luck when it comes to the retroactivity part of Bill C-23.
So what are you doing about that?
Well, I've taken the case further. I have some abilities in tax, so I knew how to take this case. And I went through an appeal process, which is just something that anybody can go through. And again, consistently, they went back to Ottawa. They asked questions, and they said, "Well, no, you know, you can't have it again because your partner is of the same sex, and the law provides that it has to be of the opposite sex. That's the way the law used to read." So they came back and they said, no, you can't have it for that reason. So I took it to the tax court. And what really bothered me at that point in time was when the lawyers got involved, they all of a sudden changed tactics. Now they said, well, it's not that your partner is of the same sex that you can't have it. You can't have it because you didn't purchase the RRSP. And I'm like, well, that doesn't seem very fair to me. It's like, you know, that's the tax department says that I couldn't purchase the RRSP, and now you're saying I can't have the deduction because I didn't purchase the RRSP. It just doesn't seem right to me, Pauline. It just doesn't make any sense. So when things don't make sense to me, I just keep pushing and pushing. So I took it to the tax court. The judge was sympathetic to my case, and he suggested that perhaps I had some other case, you know, against either the bank or the tax department for on a civil basis for something, but that he could not give me the deduction. So I've taken it further. I've appealed it to the federal court, and my federal court of appeal, actually, and my case is pending at the moment.
When do you expect to get there?
I don't know. It seems like an awful long process to me. I mean, this started in 1997. I filed my appeal, in fact, to the federal court of appeal almost 2 years ago now. It was in August of the year 2000. I'm still waiting for them to set a court date. The last I heard was that, you know, it'll be probably at least another 6 months. I'm hoping that it'll be heard sometime in the fall this year, but we'll see. The wheels of justice do seem to grind awfully slow.
Now, what impact do you think this might have on other people who might be seeking retroactive damages after tax law changes?
I think it's difficult for this to be any sort of a precedent for anybody else. I think it's really more of a principle. It's more for me than it is for anything else. My rights were violated. The law was discriminatory. The courts have consistently held throughout the piece that this was a discriminatory law, that shouldn't be that way. Recent cases have now escalated that even to the marriage case. I'm sure you're aware of the recent Ontario case, which is allowing same-sex couples to actually be married. And the attitude, I wouldn't mind if they fought me and they said, you know, look, the law wasn't that way in 1996 and 1997. We've now changed the law and we're sorry. I think I'd go away and leave them alone. But, you know, sometimes what you really need someone to say is, well, we were wrong and we're sorry, but that's just the way it is. But for them to fight me on the basis that I couldn't purchase the RRSP and some of the other comments that they've made in the case, for example, at one point in the court documents, the lawyer for the other side is saying that they're denying that, you know, my partner and I are even in a conjugal relationship. And I'm like, well, why didn't you get into that in the first place? You know, why can't you fight fair about it? That's all I really ask for is a fair fight.
How much money are we talking about here?
We're not talking a lot of money. It's about $7,500 of tax that's at risk. Well, about $7,500 for 96 and maybe another $2,500 for 1997. So it's, for me, it's about $10,000. If I lose the case, interest continues to chunk away as we speak. So I'm at risk right now for about another probably 40% on top of that. So you figure it out, it's around $13,000, $14,000. That's enough money for me to be concerned about it.
More for you than for the government.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned the Ontario court decision last week. How much simpler do you think life would be for you and your partner if you could just marry?
Oh, Pauline, there's so many things that it just would be so much simpler. I mean, when we entered into our relationship and we had a commitment ceremony, and even there it was difficult because we, you know, the person we asked to preside at our ceremony, in fact, happened to be a priest, and he was concerned that he didn't want to make sure there was any, you know, legal connotations and things like that. And we had to go to a lawyer, and then, you know, my partner had to go and get another lawyer, an independent lawyer, in order to enter into, you know, what would for an ordinary straight couple would just be a matter of going, you know, to a justice of the peace. But we had to go and protect and have things like, you know, for hospital things and things like that other people just take for granted. And it would be so much easier for all of us if we could just, you know, get on with life and be treated the same as everybody else.
So what plans do you have to pursue the new provisions for that?
Well, I'm waiting to see what happens. I'm hopeful that the federal government will not appeal the Ontario decision. Most people seem to think that they will appeal it, but I have some view that they might not. Now, I mean, I'm following it fairly closely. I've asked the province here, in fact, when we entered into our relationship, I asked for a marriage certificate when we were going to get married. That was refused. When the Bill C-23 came in, I asked again, thinking that, you know, the law might have changed at that point in time. Eventually, it's going to happen. There's no question in my mind about that. And when it does, we'll simply go and get our marriage certificate, and I'll still want to have it retroactive. Our five-year anniversary actually is just passed. So I wanted to go back to 1997, but I doubt very much if they'll give me that.
That would be another battle.
Well, that's a battle that perhaps I don't think I'll take on.
Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Okay, my pleasure.
Ian Crowe is a chartered accountant in Halifax, and his fight with the Canada Customs and Revenue Agency continues in the Federal Court of Appeal. Organizers of this year's Gay Pride Parade in Sydney blame poor advertising for the modest turnout. About 50 people walked in the parade through the city's downtown.